Sparklers, welcome back to Ignite Your Spark with me, your host, Kim Duff Selby. Thank you for joining me each and every week for transformation, for information, for self-healing, because that seems to be the direction the universe wants me to go, to help you all heal and transform and reach your highest potential. And today I have with me someone who does just that. His name is Marty Woodke. And Marty started the Woodke Infinite Potential Institute in Santa Barbara. And he works in the field of neurofeedback therapy. And he has a lot of experience in this arena. And he was the first to utilize neurofeedback as an inpatient treatment method for drug addictions, anxiety disorders, depression, and PTSD. So imagine what it can do for you out there who perhaps maybe suffering from coming out of COVID with loneliness, or just feeling you're not reaching your full potential, or you have trouble sleeping, or you have this or that. So let's get into it. And thank you. Thank you, Marty, for joining me and welcome.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Thanks. I'm going to ask you what I ask all my guests. And that is, Marty, before we begin your story, how do you ignite your spark?
I have a daily meditation practice that I've been doing for 40 years. I lived at a yoga retreat ashram meditation center and started getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and doing my 2 hours of sadhana. And I can tell that is where I get my spark. That's where I get my juice. That's where I get my my mission orientation. That's where I get it from. Of course, I exercise. I love nature. All those things contribute. But you know, going inside and finding those inner resources is really what drives me.
Do you still get up at 3 a.m. to meditate, or do it a little later now?
Maybe 3:30.
And then you're up for the rest of the day?
Yeah. Go to bed early though.
Yeah. So like 6.
No, not that early. Usually between 8 and 9.
Yeah.
But again, I start. It became such a habit when I started doing this 40 years ago that it has stuck with me. I'm excited when 3 o'clock rolls around and then I can get up and do my meditation.
And how long do you meditate?
A couple hours usually.
Wow. So you have a very calm demeanor, and that is why I know I do not have a very calm demeanor, but I meditate. And can you imagine without meditation? And I don't drink coffee, there's no way. But I have interviewed over 100 people, whatever, and many people have said meditation is the key to igniting their spark. It is. I wouldn't say it ignites my spark so much as it grounds me for the day in order to lead me to those activities which truly ignite my spark. But I am a lover of nature and exercise, and talking to people ignites my spark, you know, learning. And you're going to teach us all about neurofeedback today. Well, not all, but I don't want to spend too much time on your backstory, but I do think it is interesting how you got into, just briefly, how you got into neurofeedback and the therapy. And I know how you began as starting in the chiropractic field. Did you actually finish becoming a chiropractor?
No. I switched gears about halfway through chiropractic university. And that's when I went to live at the meditation retreat center. And within short order, started working at the psychiatric hospital.
Oh. Wow. So you started working at a psychiatric hospital, I realized, because I did a little research on you as well, because you wanted to help people, because you saw the power of meditation and the transformation.
Yeah. And I had prior to that, in my adolescence, I'd been severely addicted to drugs. And went through 7 treatment programs and overdoses and all that horrible stuff that addicts go through. And I had a spiritual awakening when I was 21 years old in 1978. And that made it very clear for me that I had a mission I was here for a reason, and it took me a little while exploring to find out exactly how to apply that. But my goal was to assist other people in that self-healing process that I underwent, and that's been a few years. But I found it in short order. Finally,
it's been a few years. We're the same age.
Yeah, okay, good. A few years.
Just a couple, two, three. So you began, you had a spiritual awakening, as so many people do who feel they are called to be of service in the world. And leading meditation is how you started that. And then how did you get into neurofeedback?
Okay, good question. So I started teaching meditation at this institute as a volunteer, just to make it available to the patients there. And what happened was the medical director, of course, he did his rounds every night, and he started getting fairly phenomenal reports from people that they were, their chronic pain was easing, their cravings were going away, their anxiety, et cetera. So he asked me, he said, would you want to join our staff? But I realized this was 1983. I realized that I needed to bring more scientific validity and credibility if, I was going to implement neurofeedback in the meditation. So I did quite a bit of research on what happens in the meditator's body, and more importantly, in their brain as they meditate. And it has to do with brain waves changing, brains structurally changing. And then I realized there was this thing called biofeedback, brainwave biofeedback. And there was some research with meditators. So I felt like that was the key. It was intuitive, too. It wasn't that I studied something. I just knew it. And my spiritual mentor, my guru, my teacher said, go for it. This is very important. So the hospital bought me the equipment, and I started treating all the patients, 35 patients twice a day. And the results were profound. We only had them for 30 days, but not only were they learning how to be calmer, but their cravings, their anxieties, their post-traumatic stress disorder, head injury, all these things started to respond to the therapy. So we knew we had something at that point.
So I had heard of biofeedback as well, but can you explain how do you marry the two, bio and neurotherapy?
Yeah.
Can you explain that to people who may be, okay, I know what meditation is, get that, may not be able to do it, but I get it. But isn't there equipment involved? Is this something you need to see someone in person and they hook up little goober things to you? If you can give me the Reader's Digest version of what bio-neurofeedback is.
So neurofeedback is actually a form of biofeedback. Biofeedback, we can use muscle tension, skin temperature, breathing, heart rate. Those are all physiologic mechanisms that we can give feedback about, and a person can learn to alter them. Neurofeedback, we go directly to the source of everything, the governor, the brain. And the technology is very sophisticated and advanced now. So we actually use—I don't have one here—but we use these caps, and we do whole brain neurofeedback. So just like other measures in your body, like your blood sugar, your liver enzymes, et cetera, just as all those measures have normal or ideal limits. So does the brain. So we've measured what we use is actually 6,000 metrics that we look at, and we see if there is a problem anywhere. And if by a problem, is this outside of the norm? And if it is, it usually correlates with a specific problem, from everything from anxiety to trauma to even a lot of people post-concussion, anxiety disorders, autoimmune disorders. So we can actually see that in the brain and measure it. And then, to really make it exciting, the computer, again, very sophisticated, it will target those areas to teach the person. It doesn't go in there and do anything. but targets those areas so we can teach the individual how to alter things there. And when that person learns how to alter things there, symptoms ameliorate. And this is, you know, look, the military caught on to this. So they have two Army rehabilitation bases in Florida where they're using this extensively with the guys who have head injury or post-traumatic stress disorder. Lots of athletes are using this now. An entire soccer team in Italy used it, and then they won the World Cup years ago. So it's getting out there more and more. You know, our approach still focuses on the individual with clinical issues.
Okay. So this is something clearly you cannot do over Zoom. This is something that has to be done in person.
Yeah, there are home units now, and I am actually working on creating one. But you really need a skilled clinician for this who knows what that means in your brain and who has a lot of experience in how to assist you to make those changes. And it's not a magic bullet. And if anybody says that, run away. But it does help everything else work better. For instance, you know, we do, is the book called The Body Keeps the Score by Bessel van der Kolk. Excellent book. And, you know, it talks about that the body keeps the score of all the traumas, all the things that have happened to us. So oftentimes we have clients who we know need some kind of body work, whether it's somatic healing or whatever. So neurofeedback rounds out many people's treatment programs.
And when you said, I understand how you might need a skilled person because you are looking at a picture of the brain. Yeah. I wouldn't know. I have seen pictures. I've been to talks and I've seen medical doctors in combination with meditation, and they show how certain parts of the brain change.
Right.
The telemeres. What are the telemeres?
Yeah, that's for aging. Yeah.
Yeah. I need to get those telomeres reversed. but I've heard that also that meditation can reverse and change that. So if the normal person is looking at a picture of your brain, I would have no idea what that is. So when you are looking at it, you say that through the computer, you can determine what the issues are.
Yeah, the technology is very advanced. What used to take us, you know, hours and hours to do, now the computer can do in seconds. It can pinpoint those areas of the brain associated with, let's say, depression, trauma, anxiety, you know, all the way down the line to dyslexia, to sleeplessness. And it identifies those areas. And then if the person says, yes, that's my problem, then we can train that. And when I say train, it's just operant conditioning. It's so simple. The computer gives a positive reward when the person begins to shift that activity. And you have to do it over and over again. Obviously, these neural networks, however long they've been established for, you know, sometimes they're pretty stubborn, as any psychologist out there can tell you. But we can help that person's brain move out of these destructive or negative patterns in a relatively short period of time, maybe 10, 20 sessions. So for most issues, you need to go in person. But as I said, there are home systems like Muse is one out there. It's not an advanced neurofeedback system, but you know, a lot of people like it. And as I said, there's more coming out down the road.
So can you explain a little bit, just if you have someone who comes to you for, I don't know, choose something, sleeplessness, and you can tell in the brain through the computer, and then you confirm that with them. In sessions, what kind of things do you do? Just explain how a session works, I guess.
So the person will wear a cap, an EEG cap. It has 19 electrodes on it, measures the brain in real time. And then the computer is programmed to reward that person's brain when it begins to shift the patterns. Now, again, the technology is advanced now. It's very simple. We use movies, documentaries like Netflix, Planet Earth, anything really that's suitable. It's not over emotional. And if the person's brain is doing the right thing, it'll be full brightness.
Huh.
Okay. And then if it's not, it dims. So it's this intermittent brightening and dimming. And most people say, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. What? And then sure enough, after a couple of sessions, they're sleeping because their brain orients to those specific moments when the screen is bright. And when that's happening, it means those pathways in the brain are shifting, are optimizing.
So you are you are literally shifting by having them watch something?
Yeah, and remember, the watching is the feedback. If their brain's doing the right thing, the picture's full brightness.
Oh, wow.
If it's not, it dims. We used to just have a great big dot in the screen.
Yeah.
Old technology. And if your brain was doing the right thing, it turned green. If it wasn't, it turned red. And then we got fancy. We got all kinds of games. But we found that the discrete videos worked the best. And, you know, we get kids in here. We have them watch, kids videos that they like. And they do excellent. We have autistic kids who respond very well. So it's feedback. It's feedback and training. It's not, it's really not a treatment. Technically, it's a training process.
And really, there's no homework for the trainee.
No. I have because I have an eclectic background. I look at everything: nutrition, trauma, childhood, et cetera, et cetera. And we may refer people out if we feel like they need to work on something outside of here, or if they, if we see that there are nutritional issues, we may make suggestions and work on that as well. But other than that, no, there's no homework. Except of course, I want everybody to meditate, but not everybody's going to do that.
You can't convince people to meditate unless they're ready to do it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you still teach meditation to people?
Yeah. That's what I've been doing the longest. We have a big office here, almost 3,000 square feet. And there's a great big room in the back here that is our meditation room. And we can, fit 20, 30 people in there. And we hold meditations every Tuesday evening from 6 to 7. But I'm in the Kriya Yoga meditation tradition. That's what I was born and raised in. And so I teach that type of meditation.
What is it again?
Kriya Yoga.
Kriya Yoga.
Kriya Yoga. Do you remember Paramhansa Yogananda wrote autobiography?
Oh, yeah. I have it.
Yeah, that was the system he brought to the United States.
Okay.
And my mentor was a monk with him the last few years of his life.
Ah, are you familiar with the Ananda Center up here?
Oh, yeah, Kriyananda. Kriyananda was a brother, disciple of my guru, my teacher.
Right. Interesting. Do you do those online? My audience is worldwide.
I was doing long two-hour meditations on Saturdays with people from around the world, and those were fun, but we've kind of backed off for a while. We'll start doing those again, though.
If you were trying to, I like to leave my listeners with a little kind of something. If you were trying to explain to someone I have a two-part question, the benefits of meditation other than reversing aging and all the great stuff, if there's an elevator pitch that you could tell us the benefit of meditation, that's question one. And then for those who feel they can't meditate, do you have, in quotes, do you have a suggestion as to how they might begin? So part one, why and the benefits? Part two, a cookie little how.
Okay. Meditation is self-directed neuroplasticity. Mm-hmm. So when you're meditating, you are learning, brain is plastic. Now this old idea that it couldn't change has been obliterated. The brain can change, and through meditation, you can access anything within yourself, and you can change anything, and it will change, with practice. But I do get people who can't meditate yet. I worked with a lot of parolees and prisoners, and forget it. They close their eyes, and all their guilt and shame, all that comes up. So those people we put outside, say, get outside, do moving meditation, walk around. you know, dig that, plant those trees, make that your meditation. So people who really have a struggle when they sit and close their eyes and try to quiet themselves, you know, we have them do some kind of active form of meditation or moving meditation. But I've never met anybody who eventually couldn't get into the sitting meditation. It's a practice. It takes time. The brain doesn't want to sit there and, you know, not think about anything. Are you kidding me? The brain wants to, as soon as we close our eyes, we're all over the place. So I think that's the key. Moving meditation. Nature is a wonderful meditation. So, you know, you just find what makes you feel good and use that.
Yeah. And what I want to say there is to anybody who's listening, because I have interviewed a lot of people in the holistic space and in the healing space, and meditation is really key, but I don't think that I can drum it into people's heads enough that how important it is. If there is one reason to do it, because I am of a certain age, it's that neuroplasticity. My big thing is you're never too old. You're never too old to wear red lipstick. You're never too old to learn a new skill. You're never too old. And why wouldn't you want to reverse the aging? Your brain can change. And we're hearing it from someone who's been in the neurofeedback industry for over 30 years. And you know this is a fact. And you look 20. So there you go. You know, mm-hmm. You can tell you've been meditating for a long time. Okay. But to me, that is, why wouldn't you want to do it? And I get really annoyed by people who say, well, I just can't shut it off. Well, believe me, neither can I. I know. It's a lot easier to scroll and Netflix and chill than it is to think by yourself. But it is so important. And I love how you said, get out in nature, do a moving meditation. I'm not a big fan of cleaning. I do it because I have to. But sometimes even cleaning can, it's any repetitive motion can be a meditation.
Yeah.
It's taken me years to figure that out too. And what was my other question? Oh, how? Well, you said it already. You did. You said both, because neuroplasticity, we want to change our brains. I mean, unless you're a perfect person, we all have something that we can improve upon.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, I saw him do an interview a day or two ago, and he was making predictions. One prediction was that because of our discoveries in neuroscience about the brain, he's predicting by 2050, mental health will be in the past. We won't need psychiatrists and psychologists anymore or the medications. Pretty interesting to hear him say that.
That is interesting. Do you think that? I don't think it will ever go away completely. I hope the medication does. But people may transition to this form of therapy instead of traditional talk therapy. There will be meditation therapy, or perhaps there will be neurotherapy as more accessible, because I'm sure it's not inexpensive and it's not something that necessarily your healthcare provider will be covering for you.
Yeah.
So it has to be.
I think there will be something, yeah.
Yes, it has to be able to be mainstreamed so that more people can benefit from this. It has to be more accessible. And to my mind, that's what comes to mind when you say by 2015, when he says that, 2050, I believe what you're saying is true, but I also believe that people who hear that and go, but that's my field. How come my field? Yeah, it's just going to morph and change.
It's going to morph, exactly.
What I want to read, I liked this quote on your website from Deepak Chopra, because we all love Deepak, right? Yeah. Marty is on the cutting edge of the movement to utilize technology to amplify the self-healing process. So it is your belief that we can heal our own bodies.
Absolutely, yeah.
And many of my guests have that same theory, and everybody approaches it in a different way. There's biofeedback, there's neurotherapy, there's also meditation, and there's energy work. There's a lot of different ways to go about it. And the way you are doing it is going to speak to many people who really love that scientific background, that scientific, okay, yeah, this is proven. Okay, I like it. I can go with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, before we close, is there anything else you would like to share with my listeners?
Well, if they're interested, you know, you just Google neurofeedback in my area and see who comes up. Not all neurofeedback is the same. Mm. I have to give that caveat. There's many different types out there. So sometimes it can be difficult to find something that really works, but neurofeedback has gone exponential the past few years. So they're practitioners within 100 miles of everybody, you know, so.
Do you have people that you refer others to across the country?
No, in Europe I do, and I have a couple in New York City, but I don't, I've learned, number one, that, you know, unless I can really investigate somebody, I don't want to, you know, and clarify things, I don't want to make referrals if I don't know them. So I let people, you know, just if they find somebody to let me know and I'll check them out for them.
Okay. Oh, that's good to know. I will put all of your contact information in the link in the bio, but also do you want to just share how to reach you verbally in case someone?
Yeah, we have a website and it's a Wuttke, our last name, WUTTKEIPI.com. And yeah, it's the best way to contact us is through the website. The email is info@WuttkeIPI.com.
Okay. Well, I'll put it all below when people are looking at it on YouTube or listening to it on the podcast.
Okay, great.
Thank you so much for your time, Marty.
Thank you, Kim. I really appreciate it.
I really appreciate it. You. And to all my listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope that perhaps you will ignite your spark by going inside and meditating and changing up those brainwaves, because you're never too old to shine on.
Walk through life. Every day is a new beginning. Shine your light. It's a day and the world.